Welcome to episode 138 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for November 4th, 2009. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In this week's episode of the Fredcast, an LA doctor is convicted in that July 2008 road rage incident, some pro cycling news, a product recall, and a hot air balloon collides with a cyclist. Following the news, we've got our bike shop of the month featuring the Outdoorsman, owned by Levi Leipheimer's brother Rob and started by the Leipheimer's parents. We've also got two upcoming events that you're not going to want to miss, and of course, PodSafe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Hey, fellow Freds, welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast. It is great to be back with you. Before we get started, I want to mention that this week's episode of the Fredcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling to sign up for your free trial of Audible. You'll get 14 days and a free audio book. All of that is complimentary. If you decide to stick with the program, you're going to love it, and I'm going to tell you more about that in a little bit. But if you don't, you get to keep that free audiobook. It is yours to keep, and I will have a recommendation for you coming up after the news, so stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, if you don't mind, I am going to wax just a little bit NPR/PBS on you and mention that another great way to support the show, besides listening and telling your friends, is by donating using that PayPal donation button at www.thefredcast.com. You know, we occasionally do have sponsors here on the show, and that is awesome. We've had a variety of them. You can name those names right off the top of your head, but sometimes we don't. And when that happens, we do rely on your donations to keep things rolling around here, whether that's traveling to races or shows, or traveling off to do interviews, or just paying for hosting and the other technical services required in keeping the Fredcast going. We rely on your support. So please click that donation button. Be generous. We appreciate every penny, every dollar, and more from every Fredcast listener. And by the way, you can donate and you can also subscribe by giving just a little bit every single month. That really does help support the Fredcast. And the other things that help support the Fredcast are clicking those links on our webpage. Give you an example. The holidays are coming up. You are going to be wanting to buy presents for your friends and loved ones. And a lot of you shop online. I mean, if you're podcast listeners, chances are you do shop online. And so one example is you might use Amazon. That's one of the links that's there on our page. By clicking that link, you're going to get the exact same prices on Amazon that you would get if you just went to Amazon.com directly. However, by doing that, Amazon kicks back just a tiny bit back to the Fredcast. And as I said earlier, every little bit counts. Chances are you're already shopping at Amazon or iTunes, Performance Bicycle, Jensen USA. You might be interested in getting a premium membership to MapMyRide.com, or you might be looking for that new Garmin Edge device for your handlebars. You're going to go to all of those stores that are already listed there in the Fredcast. Why not click those links? Get the exact same prices. And I'm not getting a report of what it is you're buying, but I am getting a little piece back from the store as a way of thanking me for sending you there. So if you would, please, we appreciate your generosity. We appreciate your patience during this pledge break, if you will. So again, sorry to wax PBS and NPR on you, but we do count on your support here at the Fredcast. Thank you so much for your patience. Thank you so much for your donations and your support. And now, let's get to the news for this edition of the Fredcast. Well, many of you may remember last year when we talked about the case of Dr. Christopher Thompson, an emergency room doctor in Los Angeles who was driving up one of the canyon roads and encountered a couple of cyclists. And obviously, there was an exchange between the cyclists and the doctor. The doctor pulled out a allegedly, in front of the cyclists and slammed on his brakes, causing both cyclists to become seriously injured. And being an ER doctor, he gave no aid to those cyclists. Well, in a widely publicized trial in Los Angeles, which concluded just a few short days ago, former Dr. Thompson was found guilty. Guilty of the counts of mayhem, assault with a deadly weapon, and other serious criminal charges. Having been found guilty, Dr. Thompson is subject to up to 10 years in prison when he is sentenced on December the 3rd. Thompson testified to the jury that he never meant to hurt the riders. He said that he and other residents were upset at the unsafe cycling along the road, which has become a very popular route for riders in recent years. I myself have ridden this road. According to the doctor's testimony, the riders cussed at him and gave him the finger, although he used sort of a strange phrase to describe that. And this was all as a result of the doctor yelling at them to ride single file. He claims that he stopped his car so that he could take a photo of the cyclists and believed that he had left enough room for them. The idea was that, at least according to him, that he would take the picture and then he'd be able to figure out which cyclists were the offenders on this canyon road. Jurors did not believe that he thought that he had stopped with enough space, and therefore he was found guilty. Outside the courtroom, one of the cyclists who was injured said, quote, "Our hope is that this brings to light how vulnerable cyclists are out there." Another one of the cyclists said, "It's sad for both sides. I lost a lot of my time and my life, and he's losing a lot of his." This got a lot of buzz in blogs, in newspapers, on Twitter. A lot of folks feeling vindicated with the fact that this jerk is actually going to prison. Some people saying that perhaps that if he gets 10 years, it's a shame because it's taking a doctor out of emergency rooms, especially at a time when there's a lot of talk about healthcare here in the United States. Some people saying that they felt that despite the fact that this guy obviously should have the book thrown at him, they feel that this might actually inflame tensions between cyclists and motorists in the city of Los Angeles. For my part, I hope that's not the case. I hope that what this does is that it points out to both cyclists and to motorists that we all really should be able to get along out there. And if we all behave a little bit more civilly, if we all think about each other, if motorists will look out for cyclists a little bit more, not pass quite so closely, give us the 3 feet that, I mean, it's just reasonable if you consider that they're driving multi-thousand-pound behemoths and we're on our ultra-lightweight bicycles without a single scrap of metal between us and them. If cyclists would think about being courteous on the road, stopping at stop signs, stopping at stoplights, not riding 5 and 6 abreast, if we would all consider each other, I think that would go a long way. So I hope that this does point out the vulnerability, as one of the cyclists said, of those of us who are out on the road on our bikes. And at the same time, I hope that it does not lead to more tension between motorists and cyclists. Oh, and by the way, I used to go to UCLA basketball games when I lived in LA. And whenever somebody would foul out, they'd always give them this little rascals cheer. And so to Dr. Thompson, I say, as a UCLA fan, so long, Chief. As is too often the case, I have a product recall to tell you about tonight. This one involves about 5,000 Schwalbe Ultramo R road tires. According to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the tires are being recalled, and so they were originally sold by bicycle specialty stores and on the web at schwalbetires.com from April of this year through May of this year for about $75. You can identify these tires because the words Schwalbe and Ultramo R are printed right on the sidewall. And according to the recall notice, and of course there are links in the show notes to where you can find the CPSC's recall notice and Schwalbe's recall notice, according to those recall notices, the tire layers could separate, causing the inner tube to rupture, thereby posing a fall hazard to consumers. Now, no injuries or accidents have been reported in relation to this alleged defect. However, as is always the case with these recalls, please immediately stop using bikes with these recalled tires. Contact your local IBD, your independent bicycle dealer, for a free replacement set of tires, or for more information, contact Schwalbe USA at area code 888-700-5860. That number once again, 888-700-5860. And they're in their office from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Or, as I said, check out the links in the show notes at www.thefredcast.com. A sad bit of news for those of us who have been in the bicycle industry for any length of time. Industry veteran Fred Drenhaus died last weekend after a very long battle with cancer. Fred worked for a number of different companies in the bicycle industry, including Ross Bicycles, Trek, and Diamondback. And it was when he was working for Diamondback for Western States Imports that I met and did business with Fred. Fred was a big guy. He was 6 foot six. He weighed about 290 pounds, a really nice guy. And unfortunately, he battled cancer up until the end when he did lose his fight against cancer. Now, Pat Cunan, somebody who's also been in the bicycle industry for a very long time in marketing and in sales, and somebody who I interviewed at Interbike this year for one of our showcase videos, he was quoted as saying in Bicycle Retailer, quote, "Fred was tough and hard to get to know, but as you got to know Fred, you learned that he was loyal, kind, smart, and hardworking, a no-nonsense man. Most of all, Fred was a problem solver." According to the obituary in Bicycle Retailer and Industry News, Drenhaus attended Wisconsin State University and served in the United States Army during the Vietnam era. He served in Army intelligence while stationed in Germany. So to Fred Drenhaus, to his family, our thoughts and prayers. Fred, ride on, always with the wind at your back. Meanwhile, moving to professional cycling news, well, it was bound to happen sooner or later, and there is a rift now between the Professional Cycling Union, the UCI, and the French Anti-Doping Agency, AFLD. You've heard those letters before, oftentimes in doping cases, and specifically we've heard those letters in relation to the Floyd Landis case. Well, the UCI is very upset with AFLD and the comments that the AFLD made after this year's Tour de France, specifically accusing the UCI of preferential treatment towards Team Astana. Well, in a report that was sent from the UCI to the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, recently, the UCI blasted that AFLD report and defended itself against each of AFLD's accusations, one of the most serious of which was, as I said, the claim that the UCI gave preferential treatment to Team Astana. Team Astana, of course, the team of Tour winner, first place finisher, Alberto Contador, third place finisher, of course, Lance Armstrong. Well, according to the report from the UCI, quote, "Now that the tour is over, it's even more evident that Astana received absolutely no special treatment, except in the sense of their riders being subject to considerably more doping controls than other riders." The report goes on to say, quote, "Astana riders, who comprised 5% of the total number of participants, were subjected to 81 anti-doping tests, or more than 10% of the total tests conducted. In fact, the top individual Astana riders received more than three times the number of tests of most other riders in the race." Now, while the UCI does admit to a couple of the charges that were leveled against it by the AFLD, specifically about testing a couple of guys late on a particular day, it then goes on to blast AFLD for its indiscretions during that famous race in July, including the fact that they only conducted 13 out-of-competition tests before the tour, despite the fact that the UCI had provided them with the whereabouts of all of the riders necessary so that they could conduct more out-of-competition tests. And specifically talking about the Landis case and some of the accusations we've heard about French anti-doping authorities in the past, the UCI leveled charges that some samples went to French labs and included specific identifiers identifying the riders to the samples and that is absolutely against WADA rules. Meanwhile, moving away from doping from one grand tour to another, you know, we've talked over the last couple of years about the interesting places where, for instance, the Giro d'Italia has begun or the Tour de France has begun. Remember a few years ago when the Tour de France began in Britain, next year it will be beginning in the Netherlands. There are now rumors coming out as of today from Reuters indicating that the Giro d'Italia is toying with a North American start in future years, specifically in the United States. According to the Giro d'Italia race director, quote, "For a while, we've had in mind the idea of starting the Giro in America. Now there is concrete interest from Washington." Now, what makes this report credible is that the original quote came from Gazzetta dello Sport, one of the main sponsors of the Giro d'Italia. Now, the Giro will not be beginning in the United States in 2010. Whether it comes in 2011, 2012, or beyond remains to be seen. Personally, I'm a bit skeptical about how this will all work, especially logistically for the riders. But we'll see whether or not this happens. If it does, guarantee I will be there to watch this start. Well, obviously, not a lot of race results to give you, considering we really are in the off-season when it comes to professional road racing. Just a couple of things to catch you up on, things we've talked about in the spokesman, but perhaps haven't really gotten into any detail here on the Fredcast just because of, well, the interbike jet lag, if you will, and the way that that has impacted my ability to get a Fredcast out to you just because having to catch up after a week of doing all those videos and being away from work and family, well, it's definitely taking its toll here on the Fredcast. Nevertheless, just a couple of things to catch you up on here in the United States in the professional championships. Dave Zabriskie, again, repeating his time trial victory. He will be wearing the Stars and Stripes in 2010, and George Hincappy picking up another Stars and Stripes jersey. Big George will be wearing that in 2010 as the road racing United States champion. As far as the world championships, congratulations go to Cadel Evans. Cadel Evans winning that race and is now the world champion. And again, speaking of buzz on Twitter and blogs and places like that, Cadel actually getting a bit of flack out there in the blogosphere about the fact that he's termed the world champion. I saw several comments from people claiming, you know, how can you call this guy the world champion? He was just the best in one race on one day. And, you know, I really think that that's unfair because let's look at Hincappy and Zabriskie, for example. Here are guys who were absolutely the best on those individual days. Nobody is begrudging them their victories as champions. I don't think that there's any reason to begrudge Cadel his championship. Well fought, well earned. Cadel Evans will wear that rainbow jersey in 2010. What Cadel Evans will not be wearing in 2010 is a Seelance Lotto jersey because as of this week, Cadel Evans has switched teams. Cadel will now be on the BMC squad in 2010 and beyond. In a press release announcing Cadel coming to BMC, BMC Racing Team co-owner Jim Okowitz was quoted as saying, "Cadel brings a wealth of experience in Grand Tours to the team. As I said earlier, our team will have multiple chances to measure ourselves against the greatest teams in the world. We're pleased that we will have the opportunities to send out our most successful riders, now including Cadel Evans, to tackle these challenges." Team co-owner Andy Rees was quoted as saying, "Cadel Evans heard about how our team was expanding by signing big-name riders like George Hincappy, Alessandro Bayan, Marcus Burkhardt, Karsten Kroon, and other strong racers, and this news immediately fired him up with the idea of riding for such a flexible, engaged, and passionate team." It's pretty clear to me that BMC is going to have a very strong squad this year. You can look for Cadel, for George, to be definite contenders as they go up against some of their friends and former teammates in a lot of the Grand Tours, specifically in the Tour de France. And speaking of the Tour de France, Team Radio Shack, the new team announced recently by Lance Armstrong, now has its Pro Tour license and now also has one of Lance's former Astana teammates, Levi Leipheimer, three-time winner of the Amgen Tour of California. Speaking of the Amgen Tour of California, Leipheimer, Armstrong, and the aforementioned U.S. champion George Hincapie have all signed on to race this year's 2010 Amgen Tour of California, meaning that they will be here in the States instead of going to the Giro d'Italia. And while it's pretty clear that Levi Leipheimer most likely has his eye on a four-peat at this year's Tour of California, with Lance once again acting as a lieutenant and a supporter during that race on the West Coast, Lance was quoted in Eurosport magazine recently saying about the Tour de France, quote, "My goal is to win the Tour. I'll go into the race with self-confidence, although I know that Alberto is really good." Armstrong also said that there was definitely a personality clash between him and Alberto Contador during this year's Tour, going on to say, quote, "There were real, genuine tensions. Also, different people were involved, and therefore, on more than one occasion, there was silence at the evening meal." So, I don't think any big surprise that Lance wants to win himself an eighth Tour de France victory, and it's clear that the smackdown has already begun for this year's 2010 Tour de France, and with this new route that has been recently announced, it's going to be a tough tour, but certainly one that, knowing Lance, strategies that he and Johan have both talked about in their own books, and the strong team that Radio Shack has put together with Andreas Klöden, Levi Leipheimer, Yaroslav Popovich, and the rest of the team, that this team and Lance Armstrong certainly do have every chance in the world of standing atop that podium on the Champs-Élysées at the end of July. Meanwhile, Lance Armstrong had seven of his bikes in New York City over the weekend at Sotheby's Auction House in an auction to raise money in support of his Livestrong Cancer charity. As a result of that auction and of selling seven of his most famed bicycles, Lance was able to raise a cool $1.3 million for that important charity, including his quote-unquote butterfly bike, which raised $500,000 at auction, as well as his planet-themed Trek Equinox time trial bike, which brought in $45,000. Oh, and you remember that time trial bike from the Tour of California in 2009 that was stolen in Sacramento and then was recovered by the Sacramento PD? That bicycle was also sold and raised $130,000. Lance's former Astana teammate Alberto Contador was the final leader atop the UCI's professional rankings for 2009, taking the number one spot with 527 points. Second place in the UCI World Rankings went to Alejandro Valverde, third to Samuel Sanchez, fourth to Andy Schleck from Team Saxo Bank, and fifth to world champion Cadel Evans. In the world ranking of countries for the UCI, Spain taking first place, second, Italy third, Australia fourth, Germany, the United States all the way down in 10th place. And finally, for teams, considering Spain and Alberto Contador were atop the world and individual rider rankings, it should come as no surprise that Team Astana was the number one team in the world, second place going to Castapagna, third to Team Colombia HTC, fourth, Team Saxo Bank, and fifth, Team Liquigas. Now, speaking of Contador and Team Astana, there was a lot of speculation over the last couple of weeks about whether or not he would find a way to get out of his Astana contract and move to another team. Specifically, people were talking about Team Garmin Slipstream and Castapagna, but when the dust settled, Team Astana and Alberto Contador announced that he will be sticking with the Kazakhstan-sponsored team through the end of his contract at 2010. Meanwhile, you also will recall that earlier this year, Astana had some financial difficulties, having a problem making payroll, and there was some speculation as to whether or not they might lose their UCI Pro Tour license. Earlier this week, it was announced that a Kazakhstan state holding company called Samruk Kazinya had provided Astana with 3 years funding, thereby securing the survival of the team and the Pro Tour license. So So you will see Team Astana out there on the roads, professional cycling races through 2010, and Alberto Contador, the returning Tour de France champion, will be in their livery. Moving from professional cycling to commuting, those of you in Philadelphia have two things on your minds right now. Number one, unfortunately, sorry, you're lost to the Yankees in the World Series this year. And second, the commuter strike, the transit strike that's going on right now with SEPTA. And as a result, the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia is urging SEPTA travelers to use your bikes for commuting instead of driving. According to the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia, commuters for bike will win out over those stuck in traffic jams of what they call, quote, epic proportions. They go on to say, avoid the crush and bike the strike. This from Alex Doty, the executive director of the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia. Alex saying, quote, bike the strike to save time, money, and help shrink your waistline. Plus, I guarantee you'll have more fun than anyone trying to drive during the strike. Now, in cooperation with the Philadelphia Office of Transportation and Utilities, the Philadelphia Bike Coalition has established a Bike the Strike station at City Hall Dilworth Plaza. The station has bike parking corrals, free coffee, bike maps, and bicycle ambassadors on hand to give tips on bike commuting and personalized route planning. I have put links in the show notes to the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia's website, as well as to bicycleambassadors.org. And from commuting and transit to television, for those of you who are cycling fans in the United States, it was definitely an exciting and interesting year for professional cycling. And one of the things that made it exciting and interesting was the fact that we didn't have just one TV network covering professional cycling, but we had two, Universal Sports and Versus. Now, Versus has been a longtime presenter and supporter of professional cycling, bringing the Tour de France live into your living room every single day for the past several years, something that American cycling fans haven't necessarily had for that long. Well, for those of you who are cycling fans and also DirecTV subscribers, you are still being held hostage because of a dispute between DirecTV and Versus's parent company, Comcast. Now, DirecTV, as you well know, is a satellite provider. Comcast is the largest cable provider in the United States and is DirecTV's largest competitor. According to DirecTV, Comcast, quote, owns the channel and has forced us to pull it down. They go on to say, quote, DirecTV was already paying Comcast more than any other non-Comcast distributor to air Versus. And now Comcast is demanding an overall rate hike of 20% on top of that. Comcast also forces DirecTV to make Versus available to as much larger portion of our customer base at our own expense than they require from other TV providers, most notably Dish Network. We simply cannot accept these unfair and outrageous terms, and all we're asking from Comcast is equal treatment. Comcast has definitely hardened their position from all reports, and it looks like Versus is not going to be on DirecTV for the foreseeable future. But for those of you who are so inclined, it might be useful for you to consider contacting Comcast and or DirecTV to try to urge them to get this dispute taken care of, specifically before the professional cycling season begins in 2010. If you vote with your feet, chances are they might actually come to some sort of an agreement. And finally tonight, you know, usually the last story is sort of our news of the bizarre, and this one is no different. A bicyclist suffered minor injuries Saturday morning when she rode into a line tethering a hot air balloon in Napa County, California. This hot air balloon was tethered to the ground, according to a California Fire spokesman. According to the spokesman, the woman encountered the tethering line stretched into the roadway as she was cycling off Henry Road at Dealey Lane near the Napa-Sonoma County lines. Quote, she didn't hit the balloon, she hit the tether. Cal Fire didn't have any information on whether the balloon had just landed in the area, but according to the spokesman, hot air balloon companies usually launch farther north and work with air currents. They come down where they come down. The California Highway Patrol received word of the incident at 9:30 a.m. and preliminary report said the cyclist injured her ankle and suffered lacerations to the neck, nose, and hands. It's not bad enough that we have to watch out for pedestrians and cars and dogs and kids. Now we got to watch out for balloons too. And with that, here ends the news for this episode of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Well, before we move forward with the features for tonight's show, I do want to thank our show sponsor, Audible. Audible is perhaps the largest repository of Audible books and other audio content available in the world, with over 60,000 audiobooks and more available that will go on your iPod, your iPhone, your Zune, and over 500 other devices. Audible is the place for you to find great listening entertainment. Look, you listen to podcasts, that's pretty obvious. And I don't know if you're listening at the gym, if you're listening on a ride, if you're listening in your car, if you're listening on your commute by train or bus, use that time to read a book that perhaps you don't actually have time to read with your eyes. And one of the things I love about listening to audiobooks is that when I'm listening to the audio and I'm really intense on the story or the book that I'm listening to, I'm actually creating images in my mind, and I find it to be a very rich experience, sometimes richer than when I'm reading a book. Now, if you go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling, you're going to get a 14-day free trial of the Audible Listener Gold Program, and you're going to be able to download a free audiobook of your choice. They've got books in every category, in every genre. It's going to be hard-pressed for you to not be able to find a book that you're interested in. And again, this is a free trial. You get to try it for 14 days, and even if you decide at the end of the trial that you don't want to stick around with Audible, although I'm suspecting that you will, you still get to keep that book. Tonight, I'm going to be recommending a book to you, as I always do, and many of you know that I'm a Mac. I am a total Mac lover. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't know how to use Windows. As a matter of fact, I support Windows, and I used to be a computer consultant. I can use both. I just prefer the elegance of a Mac. And so I love those Get a Mac ads with Justin Long and John Hodgman. Justin as the Mac, and John Hodgman as the PC. And if you only know John Hodgman from those commercials, you're missing out on a very intelligent and extremely witty individual. He's written two books. His latest is called More Information Than You Require. Here is a little excerpt from the audio book that you can download from Audible.
Good evening. My name is John Hodgman. Some years ago, I wrote a volume entitled The Areas of My Expertise, which billed itself as an almanac of complete world knowledge. Now, some of you are skeptical. How could a single book of 236 pages, or if you were lucky, the audiobook of 937 CDs, contain all of complete world knowledge? Well, the answer is simple. I was lying. There is, of course, more world knowledge out there, and as it has been generated, I have learned it. And when I did not have time to learn it, I made it up. As well, my own life has gone through a remarkable transformation. Where once I was a mere professional writer and former professional literary agent, now through unexplained circumstance and strange fate, I have become a very famous minor television personality. And so I return to you now with more information than you require, a second book of complete world knowledge, now extra complete, on subjects as diverse as the past, as there is always more of it, the future, as there is still some left, all of the presidents of the United States, the secrets of Hollywood, California, gambling, the sport of the asthmatic man, strange encounters with alien life, how to buy a computer, how to cook an owl, and most other subjects.
There is more to that clip. And you know what? I think I'll tack it on to the end of the show after our music, because it's kind of entertaining. Anyway, if you want to hear the entire book, Once again, go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling. Sign up for your free 14-day trial of the Audible Listener Gold Program, and this new John Hodgman book can be yours. And if you heard a guitar in the background, that is his friend and former Yale roommate, I believe, Jonathan Colton. I've played Jonathan's music on the podcast before. If you remember a song called Code Monkey, that's Jonathan's song. Once again, audiblepodcast.com/cycling. We thank Audible so much for their support, and I thank you for your support of Audible. Well, it is time once again for our Bike Shop of the Month feature, and I got to tell you, I really enjoyed this interview. I had the opportunity to speak with Rob Leipheimer, and if that last name sounds familiar, well, it should. Rob is indeed Levi's brother. Rob and Levi's parents started the shop that you're about to hear about, and you'll hear a little bit about that in the interview. Once again, really enjoyed the interview with Rob. I think you're going to enjoy this too. So here is Rob Leipheimer from The Outdoorsman up in Butte, Montana, our Bike Shop of the Month. On the phone with me today is Rob Leipheimer. Rob is from The Outdoorsman in Butte, Montana. And if that last name sounds familiar, Rob, should it?
Yeah, it probably should if you're a cyclist. I am the brother of Levi Leipheimer, professional cyclist.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him, huh? Well, he's a Montana boy, and Levi and I were born and raised here in Butte, Montana. And we grew up in the store that my parents, Bob and Yvonne, started in 1969, so we are celebrating 40 years here at The Outdoorsman this month of October.
I want to go back 40 years and talk a little bit about your parents starting the bike shop. How did that all come about?
Well, it originally started mainly as a ski shop. We were kind of born and bred on the ski industry. Both my parents are very active ski instructors for over 40 years, both of them, so very active in ski racing in high school at a young age, and then they became ski instructors and were just very passionate about their sport and started in the ski retail business. And even in that first year, we were starting to sell 10-speed bicycles back in the day, Nishiki and Peugeot. And so we were selling skis and bikes, and 40 years ago we started in a very small building here at 2700 Harrison Avenue in Butte, Montana, and we're still in the same location. And so both my mom and dad put, 30 years of their hard efforts into this business, and I took over in 2000, and we have slowly phased out of the winter sport business and have more focus on the bicycle industry today.
You know, it's funny. Earlier today, you tweeted a picture of The Outdoorsman from 40 years ago. And it's not too different, at least the building. Of course, I'm sure Butte's changed a bit, hasn't it?
Butte has changed a lot over the years. The building is looks much the same. We have changed kind of the front awning. We used to have an A-frame awning made out of cedar shakes that had the word Outdoorsman over the front, and we have quite a bit of window space, so we're able to do quite a bit of our own advertising with our windows, and we have a spinning marquee out on the street, so we put different messages on our spinning marquee on a weekly basis, and we've been here for a long time and look forward to continuing to many more years.
Now, we were talking earlier about some of the various brands that you carried from 1969 until now. Let's talk about two things. Number one, are you still in the ski business? And number two, what bike brands are you carrying today?
Well, unfortunately, last year I pulled the plug on the winter sport business. Just got tired of being a snow farmer all my life and depending on a sport that was very weather dependent. So unfortunately I took a drastic measure to get out of the ski and snowboard industry and focus primarily on bikes. And the bike business has become very strong for us in the past decade. We've had some great brands through this store. Right now our number one primary brand is Specialized, and we also sell Haro. and the Electra bicycle. And those brands have been very good for us with Haro bicycles especially. We don't have a BMX track here in Butte, but lots of young kids ride BMX bikes to and from school. So we're very active in the BMX bicycle world. Also, we're very fortunate because we are literally on the Great Divide route. So come May, we start to see people from all around the world who come and tackle the longest mountain bike trail in the world, and that's the Great Divide route. And some of you might be familiar with TourDivide.org. That's the race that goes from Banff, Canada, all the way to Antelope Wells, New Mexico. And so we've become very familiar with these racers and riders over the years. We have a unique situation here because my father, who started the business, is now onto a new business venture of 12 years. He started the Days Inn Hotel. So we have a unique circumstance where we're actually attached to a hotel, and a lot of our Great Divide riders who come in and get on-the-spot service from us actually end up spending the night and then hitting the trail in the morning. So we have a very unique situation here in Butte where we're right on the Great Divide route, and you know, we're open in the summertime Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and we see people from all around the world. Of course, when Levi was with Rabobank, we saw lots of Dutch riders, and a lot of the Dutch riders, I don't know if it was some publisher that wrote an article about going south to north, but quite a bit of Euros one year were going from south to north. Most often the route is taken from Banff to Antelope Wells, New Mexico. So we've met a lot of great people and characters over the year that have traveled and maybe have not done the whole Great Divide route, but have done a portion of it. And so it's very interesting. Every day we get a new cyclist in coming off the Great Divide route. So,
and of course, being that your parents have the motel next door, you've become like a destination spot, haven't you?
We really are. We've gotten very good feedback from all of these riders. You know, normal turnaround time on service, we get bikes anywhere from 10 to 15 bikes when we're in the busy part of the summer. But these Great Divide racers, especially the racers, not just the riders, but when Matthew Lee came through here last year, you know, I kind of have I'm very passionate about that, obviously, growing up with a world-class cyclist in the family and seeing kind of behind the scenes of how team works, you know. When Matthew came in the past 2 years, unfortunately, he had a fork failure 2 years ago, and so we dealt with that, and I kind of knew that he wasn't going to be in contention for breaking a record. But last year, he was here for probably about 45 minutes, and let him use my office to print off some directions for the route, most of which he did not with maps. And so I have a deep passion for helping someone achieve their own dreams, and I've got to know Matthew over the years, and Matthew set the record this last year of 17 days, 23 hours or so. And so we really try to be very hospitable and take care of these Great Divide riders and racers and treat them like they're part of our team. And so it's very nice to receive some of the good comments from these world-class racers and riders that come through and stop through the Outdoorsman here in Butte.
Nice. Let's talk a little bit about how you personally got involved in the shop. I mean, obviously your parents started, and it's a family business. And I also know that both you and Levi were involved in ski racing and being both just being skiers, period. But what was your journey from just being sort of a family member of the folks who started the shop to being the person who owns and runs the shop?
Well, I grew up in the Outdoorsman and started working here when I was 9 years old, and actually managed the store when I was 18. And then I went off to college at Bozeman, Montana, to Montana State University, and got a degree in physical education, and then went on to work in the ski industry. And I worked for Rossignol Ski Company, and living in Vermont and Italy, and was a part of their Alpine Boot Division. And then was transferred to Lake Tahoe with Rossignol, and experienced that part of the country out there, working with the San Francisco retailers and the Lake Tahoe region in Reno. And then moved on to work with Nordica and Nordica Ski Boots, and actually had a territory of Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming as a sales rep for Nordica, selling Nordica skis and boots and Prince tennis rackets, Ectalon racquetball rackets, and Rollerblade, which was kind of the Benetton sports system family. And then in 99, I decided to get off the road after 11 years of being a sales rep and being involved in the ski industry, and which I'm still very passionate. I do lots of backcountry skiing, and my kids are active skiers. And so came back here in the end of 99 and took over the Outdoorsman, and you know, since then have gotten out of some categories and gotten into some new categories, selling in the store, like skateboard. We did skateboard in the 70s, and we're now back into skateboard, and we're one of Montana's largest Oakley dealers. We actually used to carry Oakley back in the day when they started with the BMX and Moto Grips, and so we're very proud to be one of Montana's largest Oakley dealers. And like I say, we do very well with specialized mountain and road bikes. We have a unique event here in Butte around the first week of August called the Butte 100. And the Butte 100, believe it or not, has more climbing than the Leadville 100. So it's an endurance mountain bike race that is starting to gain popularity. And we've got a lot going on, of course, with the Great Divide Route and the Butte 100. And it's just been a great challenge to come back to Butte. Mm-hmm. Of course, most recently, the economy has been tough, but, you know, we're weathering through that and just focusing on what we do well in sales and service in the bike industry.
And would you say that that's really what makes the Outdoorsman stand out, is the service, the customer service that you provide?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if you've ever talked with anyone that has done the Great Divide Route, I mean, we try to be very hospitable and deliver the best service to our customers that come through the door. Perhaps it's the only time that we ever see you. You may not be a returning customer, but you know, I was born in this shop, and so retail has been a part of my life. And you know, we try to concentrate on good service here, and also delivering the best products possible.
And I've also noticed, because our producer Rex stopped by your shop a few weeks ago, and he sent me some photos of the shop, and I'm going to get up there one of these days, Rob. But he sent me photos. You're almost a Levi Leipheimer museum, aren't you?
Yeah, we have, of course, very proud of my brother and what he's accomplished. I mean, back in 1987, when Stephen Roach won the Tour de France, I believe it was at a stage in the Tour at La Plagne where Stephen Roach had collapsed and had to be administered oxygen. He didn't win the Tour de France that day, but he had minimalized his losses. And Levi was 13 years old when he saw that, and I think that was laser etched in his mind that that was what he was meant to do in life, is racing a bicycle in the high mountains. And as young kids, we had started the first bicycling club here in Butte, and we also have what's called the United States High Altitude Sports Center, which is a speed skating oval. And we actually helped develop the bicycle club to raise money for this speed skating oval, because eventually in the third phase of this project was going to be a velodrome. Mm. Of course, we're not speed skaters. Levi and I were, you know, ski racers and used cycling for cross training. And ever since he was 13, you know, we riding our road bikes up Main Street here in Butte and on these roads around Butte, Montana. All he ever dreamed about was both of us, either being in the Winter Olympics or being in the Tour de France someday. And in 2002, when the Tour de France started in Luxembourg, that was his first Tour de France. And for me, it was the proudest moment that I've ever experienced, because he'd arrived. You know, he'd arrived at the biggest bike race in the world, and wouldn't have really had mattered if he rolled down that start ramp and crashed at the bottom. You know, he'd arrived at the biggest bike race in the world. And, you know, ever since that moment, of course, every expectation that he's accomplished, I mean, he surpassed every expectation that I've ever had. I mean, obviously, in my book, the guy who's last place in the Tour de France is a hero. And for Levi to be on the podium in 2007, and actually before Levi, no third place finisher ever finished within under 1 minute of the Tour winner. And that year that Alberto Contador had won, Levi was only 31 seconds from Contador being in third place, and only 8 seconds from Cadel Evans in second. So for me, Levi he's living the dream, we're very proud of him, and I'm very proud to display a lot of his jerseys. We get people from all around the world that come in and want to see the jerseys, and we have his time trial helmet, lots of different cycling memorabilia, mostly associated with Levi. We're very proud of Levi and what he's accomplished, and we like to show that off to the cycling world. And I mean, there's a lot of bike shops that you can go into, and they have signed jerseys. But for me, it's a little bit closer than that. It's he's my brother, and he's accomplished quite a bit, and you know, very proud of him. So most recently, we had traveled out to California, and we were participants in Levi's Grand Fondo that was on October 3rd, which was a fundraiser for the city of Santa Rosa to bring back the Tour of California, which costs a lot of money to, be a stage in the Tour of California. And then also part of the money went to Forget Me Not Farm, which is a project that Levi and Odessa are involved in volunteering. And the Forget Me Not Farm is a therapy farm for at-risk kids. And the Forget Me Not Farm goal is to break the cycle of abuse and teach compassion. And the Grand Fondo, which had 3,500 cyclists, helped raise money for Santa Rosa and for the Forget Me Not Farm. So it was, I think in the first year, Levi hit a home run with this one. It was a fantastic event. I believe they had over 24 California Highway Patrol, at all the intersections. I rode the Grand Fondo, which was 103 miles mm-hmm. with 8,400 feet of climbing. And for me, that was one of my toughest 100-milers that I've ever done. And my mother, Levi's mom, Yvonne, did the 65-mile ride.
Nice.
And then my daughter, 14-year-old Heidi Leipheimer, rode the Piccolo, and that was 36. So we actually had three generations of Leipheimers riding in the Grand Fondo that day. So,
that is fantastic.
Yeah, it was an epic event. I think everyone that was there and was able to experience the event, they're waiting for next year. And I know Levi is talking that, you know, he would like to double it overnight. So hopefully we'll see the number of riders increase to 6,000 or 7,000. Of course, if you follow Grand Fondos, you're familiar with in France and Italy, they have 10 or 12,000 people on the road. Mm. Even in Africa, there's one that's 40,000 people. So,
yeah. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned California, and of course, you grew up there in Montana. And we were talking earlier, Levi gets claimed by Montana, by California, and also by Utah, right? Because he did a lot of ski racing here with the Romark team.
That's correct. Yeah. You know, we were both very much into ski racing. Every summer we would go to ski camps, and either at in the Beartooths. I even went to Bend, Oregon, back in the day. But Levi was a very dedicated ski racer. He lived up at Big Mountain near Whitefish, Montana, and then went down for his senior year to Roland Hall St. Mark's in Salt Lake, which is Romark Ski Academy, and was able to, really excel in his skiing. So he lived in Utah for his senior year. Even after his senior year, he was still living in Utah. And unfortunately, his ski racing career came to an end. He had broke his back in a downhill crash in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And that pretty much put an end to the ski racing career. And then he started focusing on what was at the time a cross-training sport of cycling. And then he took the hard road and moved to Belgium and lived in a hostel in poverty-like conditions, rode 50 miles to the race, raced, and then rode back home. And he likes to talk about that back in the day when he really got his butt kicked, and that was the true beginning of his cycling career when he moved to Belgium. But, of course, yeah, California and Utah claim Levi, which is great, but Levi was born right here in Butte, Montana, and spent most of his young life here in Montana with me backpacking and cycling and, of course, ski racing. And we lived out in the country, so every day we were outside. And we were joking the other day, my mom and I, we now at a lot of these ski resorts, they have zip lines. Well, Levi and I had a zip line a long time ago back in the day, and so we had set up these obstacle courses and zip lines, and so we had a really active young life and two wonderful parents to be able to provide a great upbringing.
That is awesome. Rob, you're celebrating your 40th anniversary there at the Outdoorsman. What do you see in the next 40 years for the shop?
Well, I think, our focus, obviously, we're exiting the winter sport business. And for me, it's becoming a challenge. I think that the Great Divide route for us is something that we see more and more people of every year getting involved, whether they do a portion of the trail or the whole thing. We see an increase of cyclists using the Great Divide route. We're seeing... last year, of course, a lot of people thought we were selling lots of bikes because of the gas prices, but I think we saw more people that had health issues coming in and just needed to get on a bike and start moving, and their doctor recommended that, for low-impact exercise, you need to get on a bike. And so we are really promoting healthy lifestyle and trying to get, the average person to enjoy the joy of just going out and riding a bike, maybe not necessarily for fitness, but it warms my heart when we can sell a bike to a middle-aged customer that maybe has not been on a bike since they were a kid. And to me, there's a lot of people like that that have they stopped riding a bike, and now I think with our health issues in this country, we are on the brink of a great opportunity here. Of course, I have two children, Heidi's 14 and Robbie's 10. And of course, I see it in the elementary schools and high schools with a lot of obese children. And I think that we are on to something where we need to start promoting a healthy lifestyle. And, I think it's great with what Lance Armstrong has done globally in letting the world know about Livestrong. And if you're not familiar with his site, you can go to livestrong.com and check out some great tips on just how to improve your living and the healthy lifestyle. And that's truly our customers. We're not just selling them bikes anymore. We're into the clothing and also nutrition. So nutrition has become an area for us that has really been a great, exciting category, because they're not just cyclists that are coming into the store, that we're selling the nutritional products to.
Well, that's great. I mean, so many changes that I think have gone on over the last 40 years, so many changes probably to come over the next 40. Rob, tell people where they can get more information about your shop and where they can come and visit and what your hours are.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a website, but you can contact me at rob@leipheimer.net, and that's rob@leipheimer.net. We are located at 2700 Harrison Avenue here in Butte, Montana, and the Outdoorsman's phone number is area code 406-494-7700, and we're open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m.
That is great. Rob, it's been great talking to you. Wish you a lot of luck. And for those of you going through Butte, Montana, who just want to go visit a great shop, go check out the Outdoorsman in Butte. Rob, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you very much.
And that was our interview with Rob Leipheimer from the Outdoorsman in Butte, Montana. You can tell he's passionate about what he does. He's passionate about his shop. And he's passionate about his brother. It was a great interview. Enjoyed doing it. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. Congratulations to Rob and to the Outdoorsman, the Fredcast Cycling Podcast Bike Shop of the Month. Two more items to go over tonight before we get out of here, and that is two upcoming events that I want to tell you about. The first is this coming Saturday, November the 7th, 2009. This is taking place in San Diego, California. This is a bicycle art spectacular, and it is to benefit an organization called Kimberly's Bikes for Kids. Now, Kimberly's Bikes for Kids was established to honor Kimberly Caledonia, who died of brain cancer in March of 2008. Kimberly was an avid cyclist, and through the Kimberly's Bikes for Kids Foundation and their free bike program, they pass on Kimberly's love of cycling to today's kids. The goal of the group is simple: to provide new bikes free of charge to second and third graders. What a great cause, and what a great way to allow the memory of someone to continue to live on. The Bikes for Kids, the Kimberly's Bikes for Kids Bike Art Spectacular takes place this Saturday, November the 7th at the Visions Art Quilt Gallery at 2825 Dewey Road, Suite 100 in San Diego. This event features original paintings, limited edition prints, hand-embellished giclées, sculptures, photos, recycled arts, t-shirts, jewelry, and posters, all of them with a bike theme. Plus, there's other items that have no bike theme, including travel packages, gift certificates, and handmade merchandise. There's going to be a sale of the art item with retail values from $5,000 to $5,000, and also a silent auction for the non-bicycle items. A $25 donation at the door includes wine, beer, appetizers, door prizes, and more. And as a result, you must be 21 or older to attend. Of course, there are links in the show notes where you can get more information. And finally, one other event to tell you about, and this one takes place on November the 12th. That's next Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific. This is your last chance to sit in a theater and have the opportunity to watch a movie that has really taken the cycling industry by storm, cycling fans by storm. This is called Race Across the Sky, and it's all about the Leadville Trail 100. Rob Leipheimer just talked about the Leadville Trail 100 and compared it to the race that they have there in Montana. Now, there was one other evening when they showed this. This was a few weeks ago, and from everything that I read and everything I heard, people loved the movie, and you have one more chance to see it. In addition to the presentation of the documentary, there will also be a candid panel conversation with Lance Armstrong, Dave Weens, Travis Brown, Matt Shriver, and others all about the Leadville Trail 100. This is a great opportunity to see a great movie, and it is one night only, folks, so it's November the 12th. Tickets will go on sale, I believe, this Friday, and you're going to want to buy those advance tickets. I've got links in the show notes to where you can buy those tickets, because last time, the showings sold out. So this is Race Across the Sky, Thursday, November the 12th. Don't miss it. Go to www.thefredcast.com for show notes and links. Well, that's going to do it for tonight's episode of the Fredcast. I'll be honest, I had two products that I was going to be reviewing today. I'm going to hold those over till next week's show, just because this show has already gone on just a little bit longer than I know a lot of you prefer. So before we go, I want to thank our sponsor for this week's show, Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling to sign up for your free 14-day Audible Listener Gold trial. I also want to thank you for your donations and for clicking those links on the fredcast.com whenever you consider shopping. Before we go, I just want to briefly let you know how you can reach me here at the Fredcast. Probably the three best ways. Number one, go to our website, www.thefredcast.com. Number two, follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Fredcast. That's twitter.com/Fredcast. And number three, by sending me an email. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. And of course, we always appreciate you telling your friends, your family, your riding buddies, anybody who will listen about the Fredcast and getting them to subscribe. And of course, we thank you for staying subscribed. Now, before we go, as we do every show, it's time to play some PodSafe cycling music. This music comes to us from music.mevio.com. Tonight's song is called Showdown at the Bridge, and it's by Eric Dietrich. Links in the show notes to where you can get more information on Eric and Mevio, the provider of most of the PodSafe cycling music here on the Fredcast. And remember one last thing, listen to the end of the show after the Eric Dietrich song. I will play the balance of that clip from the John Hodgman book that you can get on Audible. It actually is quite humorous. It's not just an ad. I think you'll enjoy it. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for staying subscribed. We will be back next week with another episode of the Fredcast and those two product reviews in addition to our regular news and features. But between this show and the next, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Mimi, okay.
What do you do when you've written a great book that betters the world where you live? Do you retire and rest on your laurels? Do you continue to give? The previous book of complete world knowledge was too short and easy to read. Wrote a new book of complete world knowledge that's way more than what you need.
Good evening. My name is John Hodgman. As Jonathan Colton just mentioned in song, some years ago I wrote a volume entitled The Areas of My Expertise, which billed itself as an almanac of complete world knowledge. Now, some of you were skeptical. How could a single book of 236 pages, or if you were lucky, the audiobook of 937 CDs, contain all of complete world knowledge? Well, the answer is simple. I was lying. There is, of course, more world knowledge out there, and as it has been generated, I have learned it, and when I did not have time to learn it, I made it up. As well, my own life has gone through a remarkable transformation. Where once I was a mere professional writer and former professional literary agent, now through unexplained circumstance and strange fate, I have become a very famous minor television personality. And so I return to you now with more information than you require. A second book of complete world knowledge, now extra complete, on subjects as diverse as the past, as there is always more of it, the future, as there is still some left, all of the presidents of the United States, the secrets of Hollywood, California, gambling, the sport of the asthmatic man, strange encounters with alien life, how to buy a computer, how to cook an owl, and most other subjects. But, as my life has changed, and as I come to you now with a new audiobook, so too I need a new theme song. And once again I turn to my friend Jonathan Colton, who now will tell you in song everything you need to know about me.
He sells computers and funny commercials in which he plays the PC. He wore a fat suit, he sneezed and fell down once, got nervous about surgery. Even though he's become hugely famous and wealthy, he's counting on you. If your computers are old and clunky, you know what you need to do. And tonight, you're holding a key that fits in a lock, that opens the door, that shows you a room that has a TV, that's running an ad, that's making you want some new computers. He sells computers.
That's Jonathan Colton, my feral mountain man companion.
Actually, not feral.
And he was singing my new theme song. Hey, thank you, Jonathan. That theme song.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sounded really good.
Thanks.
I just want to point something out. I don't sell computers. At all. You may be thinking about the ads, the Apple ads.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
I'm obviously very proud to do those, but I don't sell computers. I actually do other things too.
I hadn't noticed.
I do. I appear on The Daily Show from time to time, and I write books, obviously. The areas of my expertise and have more information than you require.
I guess I just knew you from the computers, mostly.
We went to college together, went to Yale together.
Really?
Yeah.
At the same time?
Yeah.
What a weird coincidence. What are the chances that we would both be at the same
time? Not a coincidence. That's how we met. That's how we first met in college.
Yeah, no.
And you don't remember that?
No, not really.
Well, we're actually recording the audiobook right now for more information than you require. That's why we're...
Oh, really?
That's why we have these microphones and these lights.
I was under the impression that we were doing one of those ads.
No. No.
For the computers.
No, this is the audiobook for my...
Okay.
Well, what's the matter?
It's all right. I'm a little disappointed.
But
I thought we were doing the ads and it's just the audiobook. That's all right. Can I at least get a free computer?
Well, no, you can't. I mean, no, I don't just...
I know you have it.
Okay, fine.
Just a laptop.
Here. And
thank you.
You want an iPhone too?
If you got one, yeah.
Obviously, here. But that's the 9th one I've given you, okay? That's it.
All right, I'll take care of this one.
I'm going to record the audiobook now. Do you mind?